This particular temple is a very old temple, not perhaps this particular structure, but this is one of the very important key places in Vrindavan around Govardhan Hill. Very near to here is another place called Chandra Sarovara. And the pastime of Krishna that links these two places is the Vasanti, or the spring Rasalila dance of Krishna and all the gopis. Krishna in the springtime, in the autumn season, we read in our Krishna book how Krishna plays his flute in the evening, and the gopis all hear their names. It's like, imagine if you heard your name being broadcast, called out from all somewhere far away, someone was calling you. You immediately think, oh, who's calling me? And if you knew that it was Krishna who was calling you, imagine how you would feel. Like those Brahmin ladies who said, we have to go, we don't belong to anyone, we have to go. So the gopis are the highest, most dedicated lovers of Krishna in this mood that we have to go. Krishna is ours, we belong to Krishna, he's calling us. And nothing stands in their way. So in the autumn, Krishna played his flute, and all the gopis ran, and they met him. He teased them a little bit. He said to them things like, it's nice to see you here in the forest in the middle of the evening. No doubt you've come to look at the beautiful scenery. The moon is nice, isn't it? And you must be coming to pick some flowers. And they were thinking, you called us. And then he said to them, you know, now that you've seen everything here, it's very nice out here, now you've seen everything, you should now go home because it's dangerous. And they were very, very angry with Krishna. But they hid it in a very, very cultured way. And eventually, after many, many exchanges, they became pacified that Krishna did want them to be there with him. And then they were all preparing, it was leading up to this beautiful dance. And then what did Krishna do?
Disappeared.
He disappeared. He disappeared. He left them all. It was just imagine. It's good that you hear this story because it will prepare you for what Krishna does when he plays with the Brahmana's wives. He's very, very, very interesting the way he deals with his devotees. Because everything Krishna does is to intensify and increase their love for him. And sometimes love is experienced by being very close to something. And sometimes love is experienced when there's an impossible obstacle in the way of getting what you want. And that obstacle increases your anxiety to obtain that. So Krishna, he called the gopis came, he disappeared, they searched for him, they found him eventually, after they had sung beautiful, beautiful songs, the prayers, the songs of the gopis, which in Krishna Balaram Mandir, every Kartik, every night, the devotees sing those eight beautiful songs that the gopis composed, sitting there alone in the forest. They had more or less given up being able to find him. Is that the... That's a local mobile. The ironies of Braj. So they had given up their own endeavor to find him, and instead they just sang these songs to him. And when they sang those songs, Krishna became enchanted by the beauty of their songs and he returned. Done. So Krishna returned to their midst and he said many words they exchanged in that way. This was the rasa dance that took place in the autumn season that I'm describing to you now. But this place here, this Chaturbhuj Narayan temple, and Chandra Sarovara, which is nearby, are linked to the spring season. Because, again, Krishna had a rasa dance that took place in the springtime. And at that time, he also called all the gopis, and they all came. They all came to be with him. And they were all in circles and circles and circles dancing. And then Srimati Radharani looked and she saw, oh, all the different types of gopis, all the new gopis, the old gopis, the gopis who were actually the Vedas, personified as gopis, they're here. The different Munichari gopis were munis in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, who he blessed them that they could appear as gopis and meet him in the form of Krishna. They were there. Everyone was there. And in a particular mood that Srimati Radharani adopts for the pleasure of Krishna, she became a little bit like, oh, everybody's here. So if everybody's here, then maybe I don't need to be here. And she disappeared. And when she disappeared, it was like taking the life out of a body. All the beautiful gopis were dancing. Everything was going on just as it was before. But when she disappeared, then Krishna had no attraction to be dancing in this way. And so he was looking, where is she? Where is she? But she disappeared. And so he decided, then I must go and find her. So he disappeared. So all of a sudden they both disappeared. And so all the gopis were there and Krishna was gone and Radha was gone. And so what do you think they did?
They must have stopped dancing.
They stopped dancing, yes, they did. And what did they do? They went to find them, yes, exactly. They went out to try and find them. Where are they? Where did they go? Where did they go? So they all went out looking here and there in little groups, looking all around this area of Braj, on this side of Govardhan Hill. And they were searching here and searching there. And Krishna, meanwhile, was thinking, where is Radha? Where is she gone? He looked here, he looked there, he couldn't find her. And he sat down in a bush, in a little bushy area, and he was thinking, she will pass by here. And when she passes by here, then I will get her attention. So he was sitting there in the bush, looking out like this, hidden from the view. And a large group of gopis came marching along. And they were all looking, and they were looking in the bushes and everywhere. And Krishna saw them coming. They looked almost like an army. Where is he? And they're all looking, 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 looking. And he had no power to hide. So the first thing that happened is he became just still, like this. And then they're coming along, coming along, coming along. He doesn't really want them to find him. He wants to find her. So what did he do? He, very cleverly, he manifested forearms. And the gopis were coming along. They saw he was like in the bushes. They could see his form. There he is, there he is. And they came right up and they looked. Oh, he's Narayan. Now, they were never disrespectful. They never had a disrespectful mood. But they didn't have any interest in Lord Narayan. So what did they do when they saw this four-handed form? They all bowed down immediately and they offered their respects very reverentially. Just as we do when we go into the temple, we're very respectful. They were highly respectful. And then they all stood up and they offered prayers to Lord Narayan. You are so great, you are this, you are that. Oh my Lord, you are the Supreme Lord of everything. Could you please help us to find Krishna? And they didn't waver. They didn't go, oh, Lord Narayan's also nice. It didn't affect them in any way. They were just single-pointedly looking for Krishna. And so they asked Krishna, and Krishna, no doubt, he gave them some sort of a sign of blessing in a formal way. And as soon as they had offered their prayers and their obeisances and they had asked for their urgent need to find Krishna, they just kept walking off. They offered thank you and off they went. So Krishna is still in the bushes looking, where is Radha, where is Radha? And then he sees her and she's coming along in the same way. And he's very happy. And he's very pleased with himself because he just did such a clever act. And so as she comes along, he's thinking, I'll do it again. So as she comes closer and closer and closer, he has his forearms manifest. And Srimati Radharani comes very, very close. And she turns and she looks at him. And when she looks at him, the power of her love was so intense and so pure that he couldn't fool her. And the two extra arms that he had manifested by his inconceivable potency, they just sort of disappeared. And there he was, sitting in the bushes. And she was in the superior position of love. So this particular pastime took place here. And just like one or two other places in Vrindavan, when you come into this temple on a normal day, and why I say normal day is I mean not in winter. In winter everybody is covered up, so all you can see is their heads, because there's such a personal feeling towards the deities in Vrindavan that we're cold, they must be cold. You keep them wrapped up with sometimes gloves and little shoes and socks, everything to keep them warm, because they're so personal. The deity is not worshipped by a series of rules and regulations. Whatever rules and regulations are there, they may, for one reason or another, be flexible in favor of serving the deity in an extremely personal way. So here we see Chaturbhuj Narayan, and you'll see he has his four hands. But you'll see that most people who come in here, they'll do something, depending on what their nature is and their caste. They'll do something. But if you just quietly watch them as they come in and come out, they're far more on a sort of an intimate level with the deities. It's like we come to somebody's house for the first time. We're going there because we heard about them from somebody. Maybe we have a good friend and they say, I met this really interesting person, you've got to come and see them. So we go, okay, because we've heard something about that this person's interesting. So we come with our friend to their house and we come in and we look around, right? Quite naturally we look around, we look at the windows, their photos, their books, their furniture. Just quietly we do a scan to try to understand, who is this person? You know, what is their position? And we come to our own conclusion according to who we are and what we see. But then after that, if somebody comes in and says to you, you know this person, they're so famous, they did this and they did that, and you know, 10 years ago they did this, and 5 years ago they did that, and they start filling our ears with information about the person, then our eyes naturally see differently. So the first time that we come to any temple anywhere, we see the deity, but we only kind of partially see the deity without hearing about what took place in that place. And without somebody to fill us in on the ears, we don't stay very long. We come, we do a little this, we offer some money, bow down, make a few prayers, maybe not. We don't know who the deity is. We don't know what to pray for. We're busy in some other thoughts. We go in and we go on again. But this deity is not Chaturbhuj Narayan, four-armed Narayan, even though when you take off the blanket, you'll see that he has four arms. But this is actually Krishna himself, disguised in this playful, ecstatic mood, which is part of his beautiful Vasanti Ras. So this particular temple, Peta, is very revered by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, which we are, because it signifies, this particular pastime signifies the superlative position of Srimati Radharani. And we are worshippers of Radha and Krishna together. Many, many temples all over Vrindavan, they're worshippers of Krishna. You'll see, you go into the temple and Krishna is there. Sometimes Radha and Krishna, sometimes not. But the worship is very traditionally, even some hundreds of years ago, 200 years ago perhaps, in Vrindavan, people didn't worship Radha and Krishna. They really only worshipped Krishna. And if you go back a few hundred years before that, they didn't worship Krishna so much. They worshipped Lakshmi Narayan. So we come here, we walk in a contemporary head space, and we don't realize that it wasn't always like this. Nothing was always as it is right now, just as we weren't always the way we are now either. And so we come, and when we hear, we have a chance to put the whole thing into some sort of a perspective that makes it far more interesting for us than if we only just hear, oh, this temple is 500 years old, such and such. The setting, the culture, the tradition is very important. And I thought that it was very auspicious that all of us who came in the bus, we were actually waiting for you. Down on the road, because normally the tradition is that you start the kirtan and you go through the village with the kirtan. So we were standing there looking around, and then we rang to find out you were here. And in the meantime, we had an opportunity to watch one potter, yes, making his clay pots. And you saw how organic and natural village life is. Because that clay that he's using, it came from the ground. And he's going to form it into something. He's going to get a little money, not a lot of money. He'll sell those. He'll make a living. And then after they've been used once, because they're only clay, they'll be thrown back on the ground and they'll slowly disintegrate back. Hare Krishna. So we had an opportunity to see a holistic experience coming here, see the village a little bit, even though we didn't get to wander into people's houses and so forth. But the people generally all over Vrindavan are very friendly. You saw how as we were coming in with the kirtan, people welcome you with their head, happy to see you. And it's as if they haven't seen a kirtan before. They all turn around and look, oh. And I was thinking that that's one of the extraordinary things about the people here, that they see kirtans every day. But they don't become like, oh, another kirtan. Ah, another program. They just spontaneously light up when another group comes forward who want to come and worship Radhe Shyam. And you can see the here, more than anywhere else in the world, you can witness the characteristics of those who are still carrying a tiny amount of the Braj culture. I say a tiny amount because gradually everything is being washed away by Krishna's arrangement as the age of Kali progresses. But you notice, you see how the lady, when she's having a look, she'll pull her sari down and she'll make a little peephole. She hasn't looked to see what's going on. You see, she's doing that right now. She stopped doing it. But that's how they look to see what's going on. But all the time, head is covered. And you can see, actually, the head is covered only with superiors. The head is covered with the father-in-law. The head is covered with the brothers, the brothers of the husband, there's a hierarchy. And when none of those persons are present, just as in our reading at night, when the brahmana's wives are in the patnishala, that means the house where the ladies all join together, then their heads are uncovered and they're laughing and talking freely together. But if any man comes in, head is covered. Because the culture was very strict. And it's not nowadays in modern Western society, it's not appreciated that cultures are strict. It's kind of something that people want to smash down. Because so many times strict cultures are also corrupt in some form or another. So in that, the degradation that takes place as Kali Yuga progresses, and in the anger towards authorities who are corrupt and corruptible, people want to sort of smash everything. As if when we get rid of all kinds of structure of any kind, then we're going to be free. But of course, it's quite the opposite that takes place. So Radharam Prabhu, you're looking at me with that look that's saying, Mataji, would you like to go outside now? Because we arranged to sit under the trees. Yes, I thought we did. Okay, so I'm handing this back to you, and we will speak some more outside under the desire trees.